thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
But I'm telling you this morning is a day of breakthrough. Should you choose to embrace it?
That's right.
That was all gravy. Now I'm going to get to my sermon. Genesis 50, verse 20. Now, we're going to get there at the end of the sermon. But that's what it's about. Tucked away in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, is this story that takes up 14 chapters of Scripture. Now, you say to yourself, if God dedicates 14 chapters to something, okay, this sing song, I say it, you repeat it. If God dedicates 14 chapters to something, it must be important. Okay, I was going to try to be dignified for y'all this morning, but it ain't going to work. Sorry, the jacket's got to go. Because I got to preach, and I can't preach like that. Okay, so there's 14 chapters dedicated except for Genesis 38 where we talk about Tamar's costume surprise for Judah, okay? If you don't know what that's about, get into it. I ain't going to talk about it, all right? So here's the deal. It's the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph is a cat who operates in uncommon favor. Say uncommon favor. Like he is favored with his father to a place where he is made the ruler over his older brothers. He's talented. He's got a gift. He's got a gift for administration. He's got a gift for managing things. And he's got an issue. Now, everybody say, if you get a gift, you get a problem. Because anything that, that God gives you, the enemy's going to come against you with something to fight it. I heard a guy talk about yesterday about being blessed with gag gifts. That was our pastor on Facebook Live. And just know that he'll give you a gag gift. So Joseph's anointed to manage and to have things put to him that are other people's, and he does a great job increasing it. But he's got a pride issue. He's got a gift, but he's got a pride issue. I'm going to say it again because there's a lot of people with gifts who got pride issues. I don't care how much you can drum a drum and beat a beat and do the deet, deet, deet. Your attitude sucks. Get out of my face. I don't care how well you preach. You got sewer mouth. Get out of my face. I look at your life and your life is crap. Get out of my face. You got plenty of gifts, but you suck. Get out of my face. Y'all going to have to bear with me today because I'm being real. Like there's people who are talented, but their attitudes are horrible and God won't use them. And they're sitting around saying, why me? Why me? Why me? Because they stink.
That's right.
And can't nobody stand their stench to be around them. So, anyway.
And some of those people are in this room.
Okay. Pastor said it, not me. Some of those people in this room.
I'm not saying that to be mean.
No.
I'm saying that because you cannot be used and you need to hear what the word of the prophet is saying.
And just so everybody knows, I'm okay tag team in this message. So y'all help me too.
Yeah.
Not like that though. So this is what I got to tell you this morning. Everybody said, Alan don't care.
Alan don't care.
No, y'all going to have to say it because I believe this, so y'all going to have to know I believe this.
Alan don't care
about my feelings. Pain has a purpose.
Come on.
Last week, when the lady whose name I'll never forget, Shirley, went to the hospital, I won't forget that name because my mama's name is Shirley. It's because pain had a purpose. Pain was an alarm to you that said, hey, knucklehead, stop being strong, go to the hospital. You can't fix this. My wife had the same experience more than 20 years ago in Denver, Colorado, whenever she had to get her gallbladder removed. So we know what that pain's like in our house. But your pain has a purpose. See, this is what I want to throw out here to you, and you might want to write this down because I didn't give you a slide. Healing is a journey. Healing is a journey. Now, you can come down here to the altar, and we'll do this later. You can get a dose of the ghost and get the herky jerkies and feel good. But if you don't deal with it beyond that point, you're never going to get healed. See, God can do something supernatural, but if your natural comes over, then his super don't have no place in it. Did I say that? I stole this from Erica D's. God can do the supernatural. He partners his super with our natural. That's what she said Thursday on a call, right? But if we let our natural comes over, it discounts his super. We can take the super out of his supernatural and make it natural again. You want to know how? Somebody just like a while ago, man, he ain't feeling better because Holy Ghost hit him. He's feeling better because he went and puked before during worship, and then Carol gave him some Pepto. Yeah, but I'm feeling better right now. My faith activated all that. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you can pick that up. So when we see this... don't read this yet. This isn't where it's supposed to be. I'm going backwards. My slides have messed up. There we go. All right. Pain is temporary, but hurt can last forever. See, we're not going from pain to painless. We're going from hurt to healed. Pain is an indicator. Pain is the ODB2 on your car that lights up that tells you that you have an exhaust issue, so you take it to the mechanic. Pain is that tire pressure monitoring system in the car that tells you that your tire's going flat. Pain is that shout at the person who's walking across the street who doesn't see the bus who's going to hit them. You understand? Pain is something God gave us so that we could heal the hurt. So pain is temporary, but hurt can last forever. I'll give you an example. Think about the worst moment that you ever experienced in your life. Right now. Now, why you want me to experience that? Because what you experience ain't pain, it's hurt. Pain is what you experience in the moment. Hurt is what you carry. Hurt is what you carry. I'm hurt. We don't say I'm pained. Oh, I'm pained. No, I'm hurt. Why? Because it's not that sharp, stabbing thing. It's that long ache that I carry everywhere I go. And it affects everything I do. Don't believe me?
That's right.
Don't believe me? Raise your hand if the world's put a confession on you that you have back issues. Because everywhere you go, what does your back tell you? I'm here. Hello. Don't pick that up. You can't do that. What, are you crazy trying to bend like that? Right? That's a picture of hurt. Psalms 147 and 3. He heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Now, I'm going to get into some meat here in a minute. And it's not going to be fun for you, okay? I mean, I'm being real. And if you know me, you know that's the only mode I have. Real. I'm probably going to hurt some feelings today. But you need your feelings hurt. Because you hadn't done what you need to do to get healed. See, pain has a purpose. And what we need to understand is what we carry is not pain, it's hurt. See, the reason why is because pain is temporary, so we get rid of pain and we think we fix the hurt. Because the indicator's not there, I think I'm fixed. But then I realize I healed the wrong way. I healed to the best of my knowledge in that season, and now I got to go back and re-break it because I didn't heal perfectly. Y'all don't understand that, do you? Because you can set a bone, but if it heals wrong, you got to go back and re-break it until it's fixed straight. But if all you can do at the season is just get it healed, you heal it. But then sometimes you got to go back and re-break it so it's right. I'm going to tell you, just because you healed don't mean you're right. Just because you healed don't mean it's been worked out right. It's just been worked out to the level of the understanding that you have. And today I'm going to bring a deeper level of understanding that hopefully brings you into a deeper level of healing. Man. Pain is a fiber that's woven into our journey. You look at a tapestry, do you sit there and look at it and say, well, that's a red thread, and that's a yellow thread, and that's a black thread, and that's a green thread? No, you look at it and say, man, that's a picture of Garden Eden on a rug.
That's good.
See, the problem with a lot of y'all, the reason why you can't get healed is so you're too interested in the individual fibers, and you're not focused on the big picture.
That's so good.
Should I say that again?
Yes.
See, the problem why we can't heal, it's because we focus on the individual fibers instead of the big picture of what God's doing. I'm going to paint this in reality. Joseph finds himself, I'm not going to read Genesis 50:20. I don't know why I can't get these right, okay? I'm going to just go ahead and let y'all know that. But I'm going to just go ahead and try to get there. Can you get me to whatever's after Psalms? Wow. Okay, I'm going to let this down. Thank you. First one. God is in control and nothing is an accident. How can you say this? Because Joseph found himself in a pit. Because 10 of his brothers, well, 9, acted with intentionality. They wanted to kill him, but only Reuben stood up and said, no, don't do this evil thing. Now, let me just give you all a picture of jacked up leadership. Okay? Who's the boss in that situation whenever he shows up? Joseph. Because his dad gave him authority to lord over his brothers. Now, by birthright, Reuben, his oldest brother, was the one who was supposed to be in charge. He stands up and says, oh, don't do this horrible thing. Instead of saying, y'all aren't going to do this because I'm the oldest brother and that's what's not going to happen, he lets the other 9 dictate that his brother gets thrown in a pit and they lie to his daddy. See, that's leadership that's out of balance. That's the idiots controlling the person who's in charge instead of the person in charge controlling the idiots.
Come on, man. Come on.
And I'm telling you, there was 9 idiots standing there looking at Reuben whenever they said, let's throw Joseph into this pit. Because if you choose to operate in malice and hate, you're stupid. Period. Because Jesus said, sorry to bring him into the conversation. Love your neighbor as yourself. Joseph was their neighbor. And they threw him in a pit and they lied to their daddy. Here's my first point. If God is in control, nothing is an accident. The first point is the pain in the pit was on purpose.
How can a loving God?
How many times you heard somebody say, how could a loving God do this? How could a loving God do that? If God loves us so much, then why do people die of cancer? If God loves his children so much, why is that kids over there in Africa starving? If God loves people so much, why is Haiti in the middle of the worst famine in the Western Hemisphere? If God loves people so much, why is Vietnam having all this problems trying to go to the church? If God loves people so much, then why do everybody hate me? Because pain has purpose and it's intentional. See, he gets thrown in the pit. Only thing he was operating in was his pride because he didn't know he wasn't supposed to go in front of his brothers with his new digs. Like he comes in and he is looking fly, y'all. He's got a coat of many colors on. And if you don't understand what that means, everything was drab and not fab back in the Old Testament. Like you didn't come in on Easter morning popping like you do now. It was all drab. Of course, there wasn't no Easter in the Old Testament. But you understand what I'm saying. Like colors were important because there was a little, man, y'all got to catch this. For you to have color in your life, there's a cost. You know how much it costs to dye the fabric to make that coat? That's why it was such a big deal. He didn't go down to Wilson's and get him a new leather coat and say, look what daddy bought me. Somebody put time into that fabric. Somebody put effort into that sewing. I can imagine what it looked like if it was one of Israel's kids walking out there in that coat of many colors. I think the word is drip. Like, kid walks out on the plane and he's like, look at this drip. Like, you can't get with this, brothers. Look at this. Oh, we can get with it. Woo! This is Sparta. Kick his behind off in a pit. But your pain has been intentional in your life. Say, God loves me,
God loves me.
To hurt me. God loves me enough to hurt me. Oh, that ain't true. Of the two kids on that back row who I wore out and made count off, did love hurt you sometimes? We had this thing, if they were 8 years old, guess how many licks they got? 8, and guess who counted it off? Them, not me. Because love hurts, as the classic 80s rock song, love stinks and love hurts. Y'all remember those songs? Love hurts. Right? Why? Because sometimes I got to hurt you to teach you a lesson so you don't hurt yourself worse later. I'd rather you be hurt than dead. You don't think I'd break Jackson's leg to keep him from being dead? You better believe I will. He'd be hobbling like old Jacob, holding that hip, walking around, but he'd be alive. He might be mad at me, but he'd be alive. See, what I'm saying is sometimes we got to grow up enough to know that God will hurt you to protect you. And why'd they have to leave out of my life? Because they sucked and they were bringing you down. Why did you have to take? Because their way was to death, Jack. How many people ran around with somebody in high school who don't breathe anymore? Because they found a friend named fentanyl, or they found a friend named something that has put them under. God will hurt you to help you. So he ends up in the pit, and then he gets sold to this cat named Potiphar. Now, how many know that being in Potiphar's house, this boy faced some something? He's good looking, strong, smart, put together, can manage things. And Potiphar's wife sees him. What's your name? Because Potiphar's busy. Oh, man. Man, let me tell you. Potiphar's busy with something else other than his wife. Because if he had been busy with his wife wouldn't have been busy with Joseph. Just saying, I ain't never going to be busier with anything else than I am that woman back there. Because she is me and I am her. So whenever I pursue her, all I'm doing is pursuing God's will for my life. Husbands, when you pursue your wife, you're pursuing God's will for your life. Pursue your wife is God's will for your life. We need to make that a t-shirt, bumper sticker. I'm telling you. Because if we won, I got to pursue that. But Potiphar wasn't busy about that. And what'd she say? Come here. Just step in here. Hey, little fly. Come see what's in the middle of this web. And Joseph gives us the best picture in all of Scripture to what to do with sin when we don't know what to do with it. Woo! I'm telling you, Jack of Jordan Kersey didn't have nothing on this cat whenever he left that place. You want to talk about a track star, this guy took off so fast that his coat was there, his clothes was there. And then whenever she got rejected, fellas, here's another lesson. When she felt rejected, the script flipped. Oh, he tried to rape me. He tried to do this. See, she was dealing with hurt of rejection. But did he do anything wrong? Not an air thing. That's in Genesis 39. See, there's the next part of this is there's pain in the process. Favor and success always, say always, bring opportunities for integrity and character. Favor, say favor. And success always bring opportunities for integrity and character. Look at it. Higher somebody gets in the political ranks, that stuff becomes more and more important. Not the big things, the small things. Will I be truthful? Will I be honest? Will I walk upright and with integrity? Do I really believe what I believe, or am I pushing an agenda? Am I being puppeted? See, your integrity and character as you grow in the workplace will matter more and more, because all them jacklegs that were your bosses, you have a chance to be different whenever you ascend into the management. Now, are you going to be a dreg, or are you going to be somebody that actually leads? See, I think sometimes we miss this because when we're in Potiphar's house, we get caught up with what we're doing instead of what needs to be done. You ever found somebody that got like that little first taste of leadership? As their head starts getting bigger and bigger. Hey, I am the great potentate who's now in charge of the salads at Subway. Hear me roar. Lettuce must be cut in 1-inch pieces and 1 1/4 shall not be tolerated. Now, y'all think I'm being funny. You work in grocery stores and see if you don't get somebody who becomes a grocery store manager. Don't think they lose their head. I don't care how good you fried chicken deli bakery manager, get out of my face. But your character will always come through if you walk with integrity. And here's Joseph. He knows what this is going to cost him. Can I tell you something? Man, Joseph would have had it made if he would have went in that bedroom. I'm talking about had it made. Who gonna come against the wife's special boy? Who ever gonna hear about something he does bad to Potiphar? Because ain't nobody gonna tell him. And all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife's happy? Potiphar ain't going to do nothing about that. Okay, whatever it works. I'm just being real with y'all. I don't know if y'all can handle real this morning. He could have accepted paradise at a lower level. He could have accepted purpose at a lower level. He could have said, this is where I'm at. This is the way for me to... Man, some of y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, some of you right now looking at me acting like you don't know what I'm talking about have done the same thing. You've looked at your situation and you said, this is the best it's going to get. I might as well make the best of the situation. And God says you done walking with a lie. Because you're accepting a position of greatness that's lower than where he wants you to be. I've done it before. I'm not beating y'all up because I'm mad. I'm beating y'all up because y'all got to hear this, and sometimes it seems this is the only way y'all receive from me. I've been in a process before where I said, okay, this is as good as it's going to get. So I'm going to just walk through this. And I accepted a lesser identity than what God had of me. And I had to break that and heal again. So what does this cost him? Is it just her being mad at him? Oh, no, my friend. See, this cat's went from a slave in a pit to second in command of a governor's house. This ain't just some cat, man. It's a dude with influence. This is a guy that's got that impact. This is a guy who can make or break somebody. They say, put his butt in prison. Yeah. I guess it was my mention of him going to prison. But what does he say? Throw him in prison. So now, where is he at? He's back in the middle. He's back in a situation. He went from running the show to now being dictated again. But can I tell you, in his father's house, what did he find with his father? Favor. In Potiphar's house, what did he find with Potiphar? Favor. In prison, guess what this cat finds himself sitting up in the middle of with the warden? Favor. See, whenever you got God's anointing, you can't outrun his favor. You can't outrun his favor. And can I give you this? Favor, some of y'all saw this because if you follow me at Alan the Fire Breather on Facebook, you saw this, right? Y'all thought I was going to fall off stage. Favor is the fruit of glory. Favor is the fruit of glory. And pain is its fertilizer. Yeah, it hit me like that too, Butch. See, last weekend, I got to be part of an experience that put me into his glory, where I came back carrying glory with me. If you don't know what that is like, I'll help you experience that. Because I don't mind. I don't mind sharing it. But when you come out of the glory, you need to expect some things. As soon as Moses came out of the glory, he got mad. Had to go back up on the mountain because the knuckleheaded Israelites were worshiping a golden calf. Don't come out of the glory before your time. Don't come out of it before you're supposed to come out. Don't come down off the mountain because you may see some stuff that you're not going to be able to handle in yourself. This is gravy, y'all, so y'all can take notes on this. If you're in the glory, stay in the glory as long as you can until you're supposed to come out of the glory, because when you come out of the glory, you'll see things with different eyes and you may not be as happy with them as you were before. And that's where I came out. I have to be honest with y'all, this Tuesday was probably not a very easy prayer service for a lot of folks, because we went to war. There was contention. And I got to give our pastor props. He sat there for almost 45 minutes and received from the prophet what God had to say. And some of it was encouragement, some of it was reproof, but all of it was for the benefit of this body. This body. This body. That's why I got on stage singing "It's a New Season." If you've been here in the last 3 weeks, you've seen the shift. We're in a different vein. I didn't plan to say this, Pastor, and you can forgive me later. We are no longer walking at this church. This ain't a walking church. We've been walking for a long time. A long time. Because people couldn't keep pace with the people who wanted to run. That season's over. Also, here's an OG trick for y'all. get your mints and wrap them, unwrap them before church. That way, no one on stage has to hear your rappers while they're preaching. We're running now. We're running. And
you're running, Mayola.
She is. And we're going to see it. And it's not a long way off. But when you find yourself in prison, that's what you need to understand. Prisons are places where correction and rehabilitation should happen. See, if I look at the prison that my pain is for preparation, then I'm okay whenever the prison corrects me and rehabs me. What if we sent people to prison for the real reason they should go there, instead of making them better criminals? Everybody I know goes to jail, comes back out better than what they did before they went in. They share trade secrets in there. Oh, next time you steal from there, you need to go to this corner so they don't see you when you put it in. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. But if we did like they do in some countries, like Germany, prisons are solely for the purpose of correcting people and rehabbing them, making them viable citizens once again, teaching them the error of their ways, and helping them find skills that are suitable for their gifts. I know this because the guy who's on the team with me at Hope Beyond Borders is a German physicist, and he says, oh, the prisons, and he's telling me about how better Germany is than the United States. But it's the truth. Because what we do is we send criminals to prison and make them better criminals. What they do is they send them to prison and they become citizens. So your pain can prepare you in ways that nothing else can. He finds himself in prison, and it's like a nursery rhyme, right? He finds the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. Well, he finds the butcher and the baker, the butler and the baker, the cupbearer, if you will. He finds these two cats who are in prison because they, for lack of a better term, made off-color comments about Pharaoh. They ticked Pharaoh off. They decided they wanted to incite Pharaoh. They decided they wanted to plot against Pharaoh. They decided they wanted to... for whatever reason, these two trusted people of Pharaoh find themselves in prison. Now, Joseph is much like one of the Beatles. Did you know that? Because the Beatles, John Lennon has a song. He says, you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph saw dreams. See, what ticked him off with his brothers is he told them about a dream he saw where they were bow down to him. He goes into the prison and he begins to tell the cupbearer and the baker about themselves. He starts interpreting things. And he looks at the cupbearer and he says, hey man, I know it stinks right now, but you're going to be restored back to your position. Well, you can imagine what the baker's saying. What about me? What about me? Got good news for me? Because see, here's the thing. When people think you're a prophet, all they think that you're going to tell them is good news. Ooh, I want a prophetic word. I don't think you do, sweetie. I promise. Today ain't your day. Tomorrow don't look good either. He says, you're going to die. Are you strong enough to look at somebody and tell them they're going to die? Sounds like he had some character and integrity in the prison. Because he looked at one guy and said, you're going to be restored. It would have been easy to give the other guy the same word so he would have the warm, fuzzy feel-goods. See, some of y'all are sitting there saying, where's my warm, fuzzy feel-goods? There won't be any for you today. I'm sorry. The only thing I have is a big dose of reproach and reproval. Because God's looked at you and he said, there's some things you need to fix. He loves you, but he wants you to fix it. Because he's holy. You get this. This ain't me being mean. It's God being holy. And he's holy means that he's separated unto himself until he finds people who are separated unto him so that he can come with them. So if you tainted, he can't be with you because he ain't tainted. It ain't that he don't love you. It just don't matter how much you sing, I just want to be where you are. No, you don't, because you won't do what you got to do to get there.
Come on, man.
See, I told y'all weren't going to like me today. So guess who gets killed? The baker. Guess who gets restored? The cupbearer. Guess who feels forgotten? Joseph. Have you ever felt forgotten? See, I can tell you in my prophetic ministry, I felt forgotten a lot. In the moment, people, man, they love what you're dishing. Man, this is great. More. More, more, more. And then something happens, man. It's like I go over to Wesley's house. Man, and he cooks me a fine dinner. He grills steaks, ribeyes this thick. He found the recipe for old Charlie's yeast rolls, and he makes some yeast rolls. Got a salad, baked potato. I'm doing this to y'all on purpose so that your stomachs will start growling. But that's okay, because the Baptist will beat you today. To dinner. But he invites me over. And in that moment, man, dude, this is awesome. Thank you so much, man. This is so great. Weston says, all right, man, let's get up tomorrow, man, because now we're buddies, right? We're bros. And I ghost him. He like texting me, what's up, man? I'm leaving him like a green bubble on my iPhone, unread. He's sitting there. Why? He did something nice to me, and then I just forgot it. That's the way Joseph felt. He felt left out. He felt out abandoned. But can I tell you that God is allowing pain to be in your life for the season that needs to be there to prepare you for your next season? Because in the moment when Joseph was supposed to be remembered, he was. And in the moment whenever his gifts were supposed to be activated, they were. And in the moment whenever the authority was supposed to come on him, it did. Pharaoh has a dream. Doesn't understand it. And how many people know that Satan's always got a counterfeit for what's God's? So Pharaoh's sitting there. Like, man, somebody's got to interpret this dream. And so his idiots come in. And they're like, oh, Pharaoh, we can interpret your dream. Just tell us what it is. What? Like, you don't know what my dream is. You ain't hearing from God. Like, even though Pharaoh was not a believer, he knew enough to know that if you're going to be supernatural, you better have some super in that natural. And so the cupbearer remembers. Now you need to understand who the cupbearer is to the king. Rife's the king, and he's got a cupbearer. Every time he takes a drink of something, the cupbearer takes it before him to make sure it's not poisoned. Like, the cupbearer literally puts his life on the line for the king every time the king has a meal. Because what if somebody wants to kill him? Well, the cupbearer's job is to make sure there's no poison in the cup. Let that sink in. A cupbearer's job is to make sure there's no poison in the cup. He's got all these false prophets that are saying, let me put some poison in your cup. Let me false interpret this dream. let me do this part. But since Satan doesn't know in full, he can't answer in full. Oh, somebody needs to partner with that. He don't know in full, so he can't answer in full. So they call Joseph in. He says, I remember this guy in prison. He can interpret dreams. Now, Pastor Rife, Wesley comes up to you and he says, I know you're having a hard time, Pastor. And there's this cat up in Atmore and he's doing a long haul, you know, triple homicide, but he can interpret dreams. We need to go up to the prison and see what he can tell you. How well do you think that's going to be received? Except for one thing. He trusted the cupbearer. See, I read one time in this book about this jackass that talked to a prophet one time. And looked at him and said, why are you beating me, fool? See, I'm trying to tell you that God will speak through a jackass if he can't use you. Don't get offended. It's a male donkey. And he just may be using a jackass this morning to talk to you. He yonk. But you listen to what the Word of God is saying to you, because this pain that you've been walking through is trying to prepare you for something that you don't know how to handle. He managed his father's stuff, found favor. Managed Potiphar's house, found favor. Managed the prison, found favor. And then he sees a pattern whenever God reveals the dream. He says, Pharaoh, yo, we got to prepare. See, this pain that I'm in this prison is preparing a people. Oh, man, there's too many P's there, but y'all get the alliteration. I got pain in this prison because I got to prepare a people with provision. For 7 years, what do? Stock them up, stock them up, stock them up, stock them up. They fill their bins. They fill their treasuries. They prepare. They prepare. Now, I don't know how y'all are with timelines. He went in the pit at like 18. I know for a fact he has at least 13 years with Pharaoh before he sees his brothers. So that puts him at least 31. Potiphar probably happened somewhere around 23, 24. Prison probably happened over 5 or 6 years. So this cat's probably like my age now. So he's still young. And then who does he see dragging themselves into his office? Now, we talking 20 years, 25 years later? Do y'all know I know what that experience feels like? 2019, I moved back home. After about 25 years. And I started seeing people, and they didn't look like they did in high school. Like, some of them were wider. A couple of my friends don't have no hair, which makes me okay with mine. But I saw people, and I didn't recognize them. Like, I had to be reminded who they were. Nah, dude, we had chemistry, 10th grade. Oh, yeah, I didn't like you then either. But we get reminded of who people are, right? So here he is, and he sees these knucklehead brothers of his walk in here groveling. And then he looks down. He sees Benji, his only full brother. Now, y'all gonna have to excuse me. But if I saw Bryant, my only full brother, right? If I saw my brother roll into a place, I would never let him leave. If I had been separated for 25 years, I would never let him leave my sight again. You understand? People look at this passage in scripture whenever he puts his cup into Benji's bag. And they say, man, that was manipulative. No, that was a heart that was hurt, that wanted to be close to his brother even if he couldn't reveal who he was. See, I understand that heart of having a little brother who's so separated from you in age that you look at him and anything that he needs, you want to give to him. And it amplifies because this is real. Like, that's my kid brother and he's got CP, so anything he needs, I want to make sure he has, you see? And he's looking down. He's looking at that same, you got to understand, the same way you may look at him sometimes and say he's helpless, that's the way he was looking at Benji. Because they were starving. They were dying. He was going to die if he went back without food. And time healed it because of my last point. Hindsight's 20/20. As Randy Travis so eloquently put it, hindsight's 20/20, but I'm nearly going blind, right? Why? Because we see everything perfect in the past. We see every mistake we made. We see every decision. We see every hurt. We see every pain. And we see it in perfect 20/20 vision from our perception. So now, when I walk through those seasons, I see their purpose. And that's where we get to Genesis 50:20. The thing that was meant for evil, God has turned it for my good. That may not be verbatim, but that's the gist of it. Is that thing that was supposed to destroy me? See, because whenever they go and they get Israel, and they bring them back, then the ruse is gone. Because whenever he sees his dad, he breaks. And then it all comes out. And what does his brothers do? They wig out. Like, they are freaking out because, oh man, this guy's got the power to kill us. He says, no, I love y'all. Why? Because his hindsight was 20/20. It cost him 25 years of his life. But it saved his entire people. People. Not family. His people. An entire nation was saved because the pain that God chose to put one man through. What if you are the one man or woman that God has decided to change the nations through, and the pain is the only thing that's between you and your purpose? But you're scared to walk through it. Y'all know my story. George Ronald Vernon Bailey decided he no longer wanted to be a part of our family whenever I was about 13 months old. And he left. Or my mama kicked him out or something. I don't know. But they went together. And I was raised by a single mother. And it wasn't easy. But we made it. And there was pain in that process. There were times where people intentionally hurt me, decided to kick me in a pit. One of the most clearest, vivid images of this is in fourth grade. Every boy in my class got invited to a birthday party except me. And whenever I asked why, they said, because you ain't got no daddy. And my mama said, people like you can't come to my party. Do you know the indelible mark that that puts on a kid? Because you're stupid with your kid and you say things that you shouldn't be saying in front of your kid because you don't understand the reality of the situation. I wasn't a bastard child. My mom and dad got divorced. There was a difference. But it hurt me. And then in seventh grade, I'm just going to go walk through my process with you. Whenever I found myself in Potiphar's house, and I had choices about my integrity, choices about my character, it didn't have anything to do with that, because I'm telling y'all, wasn't nobody interested in me in that in seventh grade, okay? But I had other things that were integrity issues, that were character issues, that I decided to stand up for, and I wound up getting beat up for. But it was okay because I did what was right. You feel what I'm saying? Like, even though I got in trouble about it, I was okay with it because I still did what was right. And that earned me favor with administration, even though they had to punish me. You understand? And then I find myself in prison. That would have been the last 5 years, just so y'all know. No, I'm joking. But I found myself in situations where I had to come to the realization that this pain I'm going through is preparation. And I'm not going to go through the laundry list of things that I've realized in my life. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to finish. I'm not going to go through the laundry list of things in my life that I could go down and show you where there was pain that had a purpose, okay? Because I think that may give almost too much glory to the pain and not to the purpose. I don't want to spend so much time in the pain that I don't talk about the purpose. A purpose that has carried me around the world. A purpose that has had me speak to people who don't look like me, don't talk like me, don't act like me, don't think like me. It's taken me into the jungles of Haiti and the jungles of Vietnam. It's taken me to revivals, and it's taken me to one-on-ones. It's taken me to conversations that I have at someone's house, conversations I have at a Dollar General on Highway 90 that shapes a young man's life. But I had to find my purpose in the pain. Because if I focused on the pain, guess what I would only walk around as? Hurt. Man, can you imagine if Joseph decided to focus on his pain instead of his purpose? I've wrapped this up as quick as I can, which is amazing to me that I got finished this fast. Because this is actually what's about to happen is the meat of why we're here today. I don't want you to walk around anymore wondering what the purpose of your pain was. Because, see, that's the reason why you never get to healed. It's because you're staying in your hurt. And here's the way it works. Every time you think about it, you're not in hurt, you're in pain. Because you allow yourself, come on, you allow yourself, say, I allow myself to remember that pain. See, there's a place in Scripture where there's a promise to the children of Israel that he'll erase the hurts of Egypt. He promises to take away the pain of Babylon. There's like multiple places where he talks about taking them out of Babylon, taking them out of Egypt, and how he's going to heal those pains. Today's your day. I'll be honest with you. There's no reason why this altar shouldn't be full whenever I give the altar call later. Just going to be honest with you. That's not high pressure. That's just real. Because we all deal with it. And even if you've dealt with it and you say you're healed, awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Come on.
Ask for the eyes of revelation. Because maybe what God's wanting you to do is mentor someone in their healing. If that's you, and you're all that, and a bag of chips with a pickle, because it ain't me. But if it's you, I'll be expecting to talk to you about mentoring someone and how to get healed. Seriously. Because this is a church-changing message.
Come on, man.
And I'm not talking about Big C Church this week. I'm talking about Destiny Church International on County Road 13 and this body of believers. This teaching can dynamically change the way our church operates if we'll fully embrace it. Before I get to what everybody's waiting on, I got to say this. I pray that this is the last series we ever have to teach on offense in our church. I pray that this is the last time that we ever have to preach over being hurt. I pray that each one of you will walk out of here with such a healing that you heal others. See, people say that's impossible. There's no way that you can have a church without offense. We have to have a church without offense if Jesus is going to come back. Because he's not coming back for what this tainted bride is right now. Says he's coming back for a bride who is spotless, holy before him. I don't think it's impossible that we can operate without offense. I believe that we can do it. I'm not there yet. But I'm trying. See, pastor, he likes to Psalm 139 himself. Search me, O Lord. Right? I Psalms 51 myself. Because I know I need to create in me a clean heart. Half the time, I'm going to get myself tainted. So I'm going to just go ahead and pray with the assumption that I need to create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. And that I don't need Holy Spirit taken from me because I do enough to run him away already. And that's what I've prayed. And that's what I pray every time I feel offense creeping in.
Come on.
Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. I'm going to tell you, there were some days at Sweat Tire whenever I was in Robertsdale, pastor, that I had to pray that more than I said, good morning, welcome to Sweat Tire. I'm being dead serious. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me because I can't deal with this knucklehead in front of me. Creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me because I can't deal with this idiot tire tech. Creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me because he left an oil plug out and now we got to pay for an engine. Creating me a clean heart. I mean, can we be real? Embrace the journey of healing. Understanding Romans 8:28 and Genesis 5:20. Romans 8:28. What is that? All. Say all. All things work together, right? All things work together for the good of those who are called according to his what? His what? His purpose. Does that mean that all these things that I go through, the pit is for his purpose? The prison is for his purpose. Potiphar's is for his purpose. The palace is for his purpose. So if all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, and then what was meant for evil, God has turned for the good, do you not see the picture in both testaments? Raise your hand right now before we go any further and say, God, I receive this truth that everything works together for my good, according to your purpose, and anything that was meant for my destruction, you'll turn it for my good. In Jesus' name, amen. You declared number one over your life. Two, you need to put your pain at the foot of the cross. I can't put it any simpler. You know, 1 Peter says Jesus went to hell so you don't have to. Says that Peter, that he says Jesus ascended into Sheol and got the keys. If Jesus went to hell, I never have to go through it again. Do you know that I can find promise in my pain? Do you know that I can find my potential in my pain? Any Marines in here? One of the things that they confess over their lives, that pain is weakness leaving the body. Today, I need some people who are bold. I'm not doing this so I can feel good about my sermon. I know what my sermon is supposed to be responded to. I know how it's supposed to be responded. I know this. But it's up to your obedience. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning . You cut that background music for a second. This is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord say right now in this moment. You have shelved your pain for so long that you've tried to tell yourself that it's not there anymore. The problem is there's no dust on your shelf. What God is showing me is there's someone who is content to say, I've put that on a shelf. I don't carry that pain no more. But what God is showing me is that every time you have an opportunity, you go back to the shelf and open the jar and smell. And you've been lying to yourself, telling yourself you're over it. And God says, how can you be over something that you revisit so frequently? And then I see another group of people. And you're scared not to be, not you don't know what it's like not to walk around hurt. Like some of you are so consumed by your identity of hurt that you have no other identity. That whenever someone says that you're a son or daughter of God, you reject that idea immediately. Because all you see is shame and unworthiness on yourself. And God says he wants to give you a new identity free of pain today. And he wants to heal your hurts. Some of you, this hurt is rooted in the church. Some of you, it has nothing to do with the church. And so I don't want to just focus on church hurt. Some of you have been hurt by lovers. Some of you have been hurt by family members. Some of you have been hurt by work situations. Some of you, this is going to be the one that hurts the most, have been hurt by yourselves. The loudest, most degrading voice in your life is your own, and it tears you down. And so, right now, when we bring the music back up, I'm just going to say one word. Come. I'm not going to hype this up. You know if the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now.